This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. It has been a week. This one has China for starters, a couple other things as well. As I mentioned, fodder, one might say, for a weekly wrap-up. For that, we've got Catherine Rampell from The Washington Post, also Sudeep Reddy. He is at The Wall Street Journal. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
All right, so Catherine, we're going to start with you. The topic is China. You wrote about it this morning, the devaluation of the UN that's been going on. Big deal, not big deal, and why? Discuss.
Not as big of a deal as many people have made it out to be, given the magnitude of the change. I mean, we're talking like a few percentage points.
Yep.
It's not the end of the world. I would say it's a big deal in terms of their change in policy, that basically for decades, the United States, the IMF, and other international actors have basically been trying to get China to move towards a more market-based currency, you know, basically letting markets determine how the renminbi or yuan should trade rather than just by like government fiat. And they're moving in that direction, and that's a very big deal.
However, Sudeep, if Congress had been in town this week, we would have heard currency wars being bellowed from the halls of Congress.
Oh, you absolutely would, because there's no better bogeyman than China, and for all sorts of reasons, because of hacking concerns, because of security concerns. And in this case, China just picked the perfect time to start playing by everyone else's rules. It's the perfect time when its economy is weak, moving to a market-oriented exchange rate, when it weakens your currency and it helps your exports. That's really the easy part. The real test is going to be when it so happens that the markets push up your currency, and then you have to see whether you're willing to sustain that. So we could look back at this moment at a time when China joined the rest of the world and started playing by everyone else's currency rules, or it's just another moment when China pulled a fast one and prevailed.
Quick little detour on that, Catherine, from your piece today, pointing out that the American dollar has been so strong because the U.S. is so strong economically compared to the rest of the world, even though it might not feel like it to a lot of people here.
Yeah, I mean, I know it feels like our economy, our recovery have not been so great, but could be worse, certainly, if you look at Europe, if you look at Japan. China's growing, but it's decelerating. And there are a few reasons for that. One, especially relative to Europe, is that our monetary policy was much more active earlier on. Our fiscal policy, even though we had some austerity measures, we didn't have the same kinds of major cuts that countries like Greece have had, and Spain and elsewhere, which is partly because people were still willing to lend to us. You know, there was sort of this flight to safety where investors around the world were buying dollars. So they were buying U.S. debt, essentially. So we didn't have to face those tough choices. So there are a number of reasons. Also, we deleveraged a lot more than other countries did.
Quickly, Sudeep, on the Greece thing, the final bailout was agreed to today. Anything more to say on that? And this can be a yes or no answer.
Not much more. They've kicked the can. We've been waiting for it, and they did it, and we'll have more of this to come.
Fair enough. Corporate news of the week, Sudeep, the Google Alphabet thing. It's the holding company now, and Google is going to be sort of broken out and more transparent. How much do you think that's going to help that company actually make more money? Is it that big a deal?
It's probably not that big of a deal to all of us, but it should help Google figure out what it wants to be. It's in a weird moment. It's been around for almost two decades, and it could easily end up being like a Microsoft, a powerful, successful, profitable company that has what you might consider incremental innovation, even though it's a core part of the economy. What it really wants, what you're hearing from the founders and from everyone else there, is they want to be a perpetual startup. They want to have that mentality that they're taking much larger leaps. They want to be on the forefront of what the economy needs. And this might help them orient themselves and organize themselves to get there with all the cool things that they're working on and all the things that probably aren't going to make any money anytime soon.
Catherine, last question to you. It's a commodities question, and it's a quickie. Oil at $42 a barrel and falling. Are you surprised? And what and when are we going to start feeling it, right?
Am I surprised? I mean, there have been a number of factors that suggested we were heading in this direction, including China's slowdown, as we talked about before. And, you know, the talks with Iran probably are going to increase the supply of oil, or at least that's what people are expecting. In terms of when we'll feel it, well, right now gas prices have spiked, at least in some parts of the country, but that's mostly because refineries have been out. So, you know, if you're talking about when consumers are going to feel it, there's that there's that middle step in the process that may prevent us from noticing it too much anytime soon.
Especially out here in L.A., I will tell you that. Catherine Rampell from The Washington Post and Sudeep Reddy from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Guy.
All right, have a good weekend.